The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Hard to believe it's another Monday. Well, I have two special guests for this show, both joining me on the phone. Joining me will be Darcy Trotton, a 10-year veteran in the field of journalism, communications, and consulting. And she's going to be really, Darcy is devoted to illuminating often overlooked voices, and we will talk about communication and how nonprofits can effectively get the word out. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about, actually. My second guest is going to be Molly Murphy McGregor, the co-founder of the National Women's History Project, and we'll be talking about women's history and the Women's Equality Day, which is happening on October 26th. You know, in 1980, the National Women's History Project, NWHP, was founded here in Santa Rosa, co-founded by Molly Murphy McGregor, Mary Rustadter, Maria Cuevas, Paula Hemmett, and Betty Morgan. And I'm really excited once again to interview Molly, talking about Women's Equality Day and all kinds of other things that are going on with the National Women's History Project. But as most of us know, we've just had a horrific thing happen here in Charlottesville. It's hard to believe that this actually went on, that there was a, it's in Charlottesville, Virginia, and according to CNN, one person was killed and 19 were hurt when a speeding car slammed into a throng of counter-protesters in Charlottesville. It sounds like what happened is there was a statue in a park by Robert E. Lee, and that was going to be removed, and they were going to be renaming the park Emancipation Park. And what happened is a great deal of chaos happened, and it looks like it was a riot. And here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, California, we had a protest in support of these protesters that were saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's okay to change it to Emancipation Park. Well, the people who consider themselves white supremacists did not like that to happen, and situation broke out. It looked like one woman, a 32-year-old woman, identified as Heather D. Hayer, 32, a paralegal from Charlottesville, who was a passionate advocate for the disenfranchised and was often moved to tears by the world's injustices. She was killed while walking across the street, and somebody, I guess a car, went into the crowd, and not only was one person killed, but there were 19 people that were seriously injured. And from what the report said, there were also two policemen who were riding in a helicopter trying to help control the crowd, and unfortunately they crashed. Well, here in Santa Rosa, in downtown Santa Rosa, yesterday there was a protest, and it was organized by a woman by the name of Laura Gonzalez, who is a educator here in Sonoma County, and Carol Eppel, who's part of the Homeless Coalition. And I have on the phone with me Laura Gonzalez, and we're going to be talking about what happened yesterday in downtown Courthouse Square. Good morning, Laura, and welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning to you as well.
Well, I'm so happy. I mean, this is very, very short notice, you know, and I really want to do a shout out for you and Carol and Eppel for pulling this together. I'm sorry that we were unable to be there yesterday, but I'm so happy that I have you on the radio. So talk a little bit about it. Tell me, give a little background, you know. Laura, before we start, let me just tell you a little bit about our listeners, a little bit about you. Laura's been a teacher for almost 22 years now and has proven herself a tireless, and I know that for a fact, advocate for public education. She also served as a California Teachers Association delegate to the National National Education Association representative assembly. I guess that's called NEARA. And
yes.
She is also a former member of the Santa Rosa School Board. She organized the gathering with Carolyn Eppel, a member of the Homeless Action and co-founder of Camp Michaela, an encampment in Sonoma County for the homeless. And I believe, according to the Press Democrat, over 300 people came. So talk a little bit. Give us some background. What motivated you to pull this group together?
Well, hearing the news out of Charlottesville was very distressing. And then with the murder of Heather Heyer, as you pointed out, it was just too much. And I was on Facebook, reading, this is where I get a lot of my news, and a friend posted that there would be rallies in both San Francisco and Oakland. And I asked, well, is there anything happening here in Sonoma County? And so we kind of looked around. We couldn't find anything. And then we actually did end up finding that Petaluma had something planned. But I just said, hey, let's do this. We have the new reunified Courthouse Square. Let's see if we can get some people there, because my feeling is that now, I consider this a national tragedy, and I think that people need to come together as a community to know that there are others who feel the same way, who are just as upset. I think we need to be in community at moments like that. And so I made up an event on Facebook, and then Carolyn Eppel did all the work about getting a press release out to everybody and letting all these different groups in the area know. And like the paper said, we had well over 300 people, which I was shocked, very pleased, but also really surprised.
Well, why, Laura, go into that a little bit. Why do you consider this a national tragedy?
Because I think that, a couple of things. One, it obviously took everybody's attention. This is what people were focused on. And you had people flying from all around the country to attend this white supremacist rally in Charlottesville because of, as you pointed out, the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So this was a big deal, and all eyes were on Charlottesville before it even happened. And then when it went badly, when violence broke out, we often see at other rallies, violence maybe or destruction of property, but people haven't really been hurt to the degree, and certainly not murdered, like what happened in Charlottesville. And so I think that, like I said, all eyes were on there, and we just, it took our attention, and this should not still be happening, but it is. And one of my points that, what I would really like for people to come away with about this, as a person of color, when I was reading social media posts, people are saying, this isn't us. This isn't what the United States is about. We're not about this. We're not like this. And I take exception to that. I say that, yes, this is exactly what we are like. This is exactly who we are. Our country was founded on the enslavement of black people and the genocide of Native Americans. This violence, this racial hatred has been with us since the beginning. And it showed up in a lot of different ways. Slavery, internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, Jim Crow. Now we have, mass incarceration. Violence against people of color is nothing new. And hatred has been here since the beginning. And so we can't say we're better than this. And until we come to terms with our history, we will never move forward. We will keep having these Charlottesvilles over and over. And I do want to say I'm no fan of President Trump, but I don't blame him. This is not his fault. This violence and racial hatred preceded him by hundreds of years. But I think that it's been kept under wraps for so long now, but I think that his ascendancy to the presidency was a green light for all these groups to come out of the woodwork where they were hiding, where they were ready, and they were angry after 8 years of a black president.
Well, Laura, you made some excellent points, that we have to start looking at who we are as a country, what our country was founded on. I mean, we don't pay attention to history. I mean, even when you look at these white supremacists and they're claiming to support Nazis, Nazis. Mostly people don't even understand the history of what happened in Nazi Germany and why it is so awful that these hate groups are coming out so strongly. But at this other hand, I'm glad in some ways because at least it's right in front of us. I mean, we cannot deny it anymore. Well, what was the general feeling of the group? I mean, 300 people gathered last moment. What was the general feel? One of the best signs I saw was, I love this sign, the power of the people is stronger than the people in power. I mean, that to me is says it all. What was the general feeling downtown?
I think a lot of shock, surprise, anger. More than a few people said something to me personally about not sure they really wanted to attend yet another vigil. I mean, they feel like bashing in Nazi heads, you know, and I understand that. But this, you know, at this moment, I felt that this is what we needed was to come together as a community, and it seemed like people agreed with that, and they were, you know, I mean, people were making signs, they participated in the march, and a lot of people came up to me and said this was the first protest march they'd ever been to, and so that was really encouraging, because usually at these events, it's, you know, the same old crowd, right, the usual suspects. And there were a lot of new people who showed up because I think that a lot of people are on the same page that this needs to stop, this reemergence on such a large scale of white supremacists. You know, it needs to be dealt with and it needs to be stopped.
Well, you know,
and I wanted to add one thing, if I might.
Let me just say this before you add that. Just hold on to your thought.
Okay.
One thing, when we take a musical break, I want people to pay particularly attention to the song that I'm going to be playing. I'm going to be playing a Nina Simone song, What It Feels Like to Be Free, and it really talks a lot about what African-American people have gone through, particularly people of color. So it's a very, very powerful song, and we need to pay attention to these things because it's part of our history. So go ahead. What point did you want to make, my friend?
You had mentioned, you know, Nazi Germany and these neo-Nazis, and one of the things that I recently saw on some kind of TV show was things that are happening in Germany for them to come to grips with their past. And I was really impressed. They have done a lot. I have not been to Germany. I have not seen these things, but I just watched this video. It's the curriculum in the schools. They don't shy away from it. They don't try and pretty it up like we do here, or reduce it to, you know, one little paragraph. They have really tried to hit head on, or face head on their belief for Germans at all, but it's the only way you can do it. You have to face, the demons, in your past. You have to, otherwise you can't move on.
Well, you know, being a Caucasian woman, I want to share a quick story. I went to a diversity, bias workshop where you're supposed to look at some of your bias. And the theme was going to be, of course, looking at people of color and how you feel about and what your attitude is. And of course, I walked in as a progressive, you know, open-minded, thinking myself as a liberal. And they did an exercise. And the exercise was you closed your eyes and you were walking down the street and you saw a white man all of a sudden approach you. What did it feel like? Well, it felt like nothing to me. And then the second part, they said, now you see an African-American man walking towards you. Well, I had a reaction. Mm-hmm. And what that said to me loud and clear, that our biases are so deep that even though we think we don't have them, we do have them. And that's why each one of us has to step up to the plate and say, look at that aspect of ourself. Otherwise, it's never going to clear up or go away. Well, we're coming to the end of this segment. And like I said, thank you so much for coming in on Last Moments. And I mean, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, Laura. Do you have any last words, any last thoughts, any follow-up that's going to happen in the county here?
I'm not sure about any follow-up. I think that just kind of remains to be seen. This rally was pretty organic. Like you said, it came up at the last minute. But I just would really like people to face what our past is. And I think especially for white Americans, and we're not, you know, the slavery and all of that is not on the head, on the shoulders of people, white Americans. But I think people need to look at how how the past has benefited them to this day and how it does not benefit people of color. We need to, because we not only have neo-Nazis and the KKK, but all of this is in our institutions. You know, our all this racism is in our institutions, and we can't even begin to weed it out from there until we look at ourselves and what's going on in our society.
Well, any contact information for you, Laura, if somebody else wants to get involved with you or maybe start a group, or I really think we should have like focus groups where we all sit down and we really talk, we look at our own community, we look at our own biases, and we see that what each one of us can do as well individually as well as collectively. So any contact information that people can get a hold of you if they'd like to do anything further with you?
Right now, I would say if they want to go to the Facebook event page that we had, which was No Nazis, No KKK, No Fascist USA, and maybe post something there, because I do think that there is a need. People want to know groups that are out there that can get involved with. So Carolyn and I were going to look at maybe posting that for people, maybe even starting a new Facebook page where people can go, and we could have, like, you know, an emergency contact type of thing. If something's happening, let's all show up here, or at least, like I said, groups that they could join or maybe become involved in.
Well, Laura, shout out to both you and Carolyn Appelin for putting this thing together, and particularly them and what they want to see change in our country. And also a shout out to all those people who applauded. I understand they went into the downtown Santa Rosa Mall and people were actually I really believe in what Einstein said. We have to change the heart of man. We have to start looking at each other as people, as part of a planet, part of a human species. And we really are. There's not that much difference. I mean, how horrible it is that we define ourselves or define each other through what the external world. It doesn't make sense to me. So thank you once again, Laura Gonzalez, for doing such a great job.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you know, folks, you know, it takes a village. It really does. But never underestimate the power of one person or one group of people that they can make a change. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And what we're going to play is I'm going to play a Nina Simone song called I Wish I Knew What It Would Feel Like to Be Free. And this was a song that she wrote one time when she was just sitting at her piano thinking of what it was like to be an African-American woman during the civil rights and during all the protests and all the fighting that was going on, just to get young people to be able to sit at a counter in Woolworths. I mean, it's just amazing. And then when I come back, I'm going to be talking to Darcy Trotton, who is devoted to illuminating often overlooked voices, and we'll talk about communication and how nonprofits can effectively get the word out. So here we go with Nina Simone, I Wish I Knew How It Would Be to Be Free.
Say I'm loud, say I'm clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me, then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do
I love that song. Oh, my goodness. Nina Simone has touched my heart in so many ways, but that song is so powerful. And in light of what is happening in today's world, you know, we all need to be free, free to be able to walk, free to be loved, free to love. Anyway, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors. Members are Women Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest on the phone with me is Darcy Trotton, a 10-year veteran in the field of journalist communications and consulting, and is also a public relations manager. And before you start, welcome, Darcy. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, before we start, you know, we just had a protest here in Santa Rosa around what happened in Charlottesville, and I'm kind of coming down from it. It's very, very interesting when you think about some of the stuff that's going on in the world. But I would like to tell the folks just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Darcy Trotton, actually, how I met her was she was one of the organizers for Ain't I a Woman March that happened last month in Sacramento, California. She is a 10-year veteran in the field of journalism, communication. She's been a consultant and a public relations manager. Darcy is devoted to illuminating often overlooked voices. Her activism is deeply rooted in the strategic communication efforts and the idea that bridging the gap between mainstream media's access and progressive ideas is a big part of what it will take to change the world. She develops communication plans, offers training and workshops, and helps small organizations craft effective messaging strategies for the fights they take on. She specializes in managing press efforts, message creating, image management, and strategic communication planning. Anything you'd like to add, Darcy, to that?
I just want to say Activism Articulated is my company, and we did assist the organizers for Black Women United, for that Ain't I a Woman March. But it's also very important to us to pretty consistently take as much of a back seat as possible for young organizers. So we were there to help them, but the concept was definitely that was all them. They came up with that, and they are they're spearheading a lot of activity in Sacramento right now. We are very, very proud to be able to work with them.
Well, let me just ask you a question. You know, a lot of the groups that are coming up today, especially the young activism, you know, there's so many of them, and they're facing so many issues. Well, what is some of the things that they need to know and they need to learn when it comes to putting on a march or putting on any kind of activity? I mean, I actually want to know for myself. You know, I'm president of the National Organization for Women here in Sonoma County, the Sonoma County chapter, and we do events. And so what do you think are some of the things people need to be aware of and some of the steps they have to take?
Sure. Well, there's several. So I guess the first one would be to kind of keep an eye out on how you're going to put something together. These events, they cost money. Very often they're sponsored by different groups, and you need to know ahead of time what is important to you and when you're going to stick to your guns and when messaging cannot be adjusted in any way, shape, or form. Making sure that you stay true to yourself and to your mission is really, really important. I would also say that planning ahead of time for media is also really important. Very often, especially with young organizers, it becomes kind of an afterthought. But having media planners in your organizing, you know, process from the very beginning goes a very long way to making sure that you are heard, that your message is heard, and that what you're doing out in the street or at this conference, has some reach to it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, what you say, because I know here I have the radio show, and I'm always so amazed at how I find out an event's happening. I don't find out through the event coordinator, I'll find out through maybe somebody sends a Facebook announcement out, or maybe there's some sort of blurb somewhere, and then all of a sudden I will pick up on it. And I try to encourage, you know, no, you got to make contact. And also, would you agree that it's important to get to know people that are in the media, make personal contact, let them, you know, have some sort of personal relationship?
Oh, absolutely. That is key. One of the hardest parts for young organizers or for any activist group or even smaller nonprofits is that these are the folks who they really need some help communicating their message. They really need that access. Oftentimes they're so busy, you know, saving the world, they don't have time for a lot of that. And unfortunately, professional communications organizations usually are very expensive, and they're often well out of range for these smaller groups. It's one of the reasons why we started Activism Articulated, was we wanted to be able to provide not just these services, but also training for young students, young activists, and for these smaller groups, so that they didn't constantly need to hire that out, that they could learn to do it themselves. And as they went through that process, they would establish those relationships, get to know their local media, and have more of a long-term relationship there.
So what is your passion? I mean, here you are. You do have a firm. I mean, and I'm sure you do charge money. We are not allowed to talk about that on the air or give any phone calls. But I mean, it's a reality. How do they come to you? I mean, how is it someone like yourself is willing to work with people and offer this service?
Well, I'll say this: I've been an activist for, I don't know, 15, 16 years, and I went into this because I am deeply committed to the kinds of causes that my firm supports. I worked in journalism as a journalist. I have a master's degree in journalism, and eventually what sort of sent me more in the direction of public relations and media relations was the deep need I had to be able to take a stand on issues I cared about. And this is one way that I can do that. Especially today, there's a great need for support for some of these issues and causes that we work with a lot. And there's a great need for support from people that aren't going to try to take over or lead in a way that maybe is inappropriate. So my company, our goal is to support young leaders as opposed to kind of taking attention away from them. We want to stand behind the leaders in our communities and do what we can to help them.
So, you know, Darcy, I mean, you just touch my heart when you say that. I mean, it's so important that we kind of join hands together and support one another. You know, I remember they had this one action about 25 years ago where it was Hands Across America, and then it went to Hands Across the World, where people just joined hands at a certain time and prayed so they could work together. And that's what I hear you saying, how important it is that we make ways out of no ways, really, to help people and to support actions that are happening. And, you know, I'd like to ask you one question. I always ask this question, particularly women like yourself who have the ability to be so articulate and get out in the world and help others. Where do you get your confidence? Where do you get your, so to speak?
Well, I've worked a lot of jobs in my life where women were... How do I say this?
Secondary citizens.
Yeah, women had to fight a lot harder to be heard. So, to be honest, it's not really so much about confidence as it is about practice, being heard in a room full of people that maybe don't want to listen. And that's one of the most valuable skills, I think, especially for activists, and especially for young female activists or members of groups that have historically been incredibly marginalized to the point that they're not even... simply being shouted down, they're being entirely ignored, that being able to offer that extra bit of amplification is really, really key.
Well, that's an important thing. You know, there's an old saying I remember my mother used to say to me, Elaine, practice makes perfect. You know, and that is so true. Well, Darcy, anything on the horizon, any other organizations you're working with, any marches or anything that you'd like to share with the folks?
Sure. We are continuing to support Black Women United. They actually showed up at a vigil for Charlottesville last night and made some very, very important points with our local officials and mayor and some local elected representatives about what is going on in Sacramento specifically with our police and sheriff's office and police brutality locally. It was really important. We are working with a number of groups who are really passionate about anti-racist action and supporting Black Lives Matter and wanting to make sure that we are amplifying and supporting the voices of trans folks and especially transgender women of color who are very often ignored while simultaneously being incredibly targeted in this country. We have in the past worked with the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe supporting their protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline, and we continue to support them as well. And right now we are also working with a couple of new clients that are much smaller, just providing trainings and in-house workshops for everything from how to write a press release to interview prep for folks thinking that, you know, they might end up on TV or what have you. So we do a lot of that locally. And we have also written a couple of grants, which we're waiting to hear back on, to do some community art projects and some community public works projects.
Well,
so
you're
kind of where we are right now.
Well, you're certainly busy, and I think you are providing something so important. And I really want to invite you, if there's anything going on or any kind of action that you're taking, any kind of organization that you're working with that's doing something that you feel is important, please, please let me know. I'm always happy to support that. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, my friend, so why don't you give us your website, how you can get a hold of you, and any other last suggestions or words that you would like to share with us?
Sure. Our website is activismarticulated.com, and we can be contacted there. And I guess what I want to leave with is that it's so important to support your local organizations, and specifically organizations that are run by people of color, women of color, trans folks. The important thing right now is to make sure that the voices of those who are most marginalized in this country are not only heard, but are amplified by those who do have privilege. You know, we need to come out not just to say, hey, we don't want Nazis in town. We need to come out and say, hey, there is so much of our country's history that supports that, and we need to root that out and get rid of that, and we need those who are affected by it to be the leaders of that movement.
And to face it, to stand up and say, yes, this is happening, and not to be afraid to face it, because that's how change happens. Once you look at the problem, you know, the hardest thing is getting the problem. You know, what is the problem here? Once you get a problem, then you can start looking at all the different ways you can solve it, and it becomes more doable. Well, you know, Darcy, you gave me a little segue here, you know, because we're here on KBBF 89.1 FM. We actually hit 18 counties. We also stream, and we also, my show, Women's Spaces, is online at www.womenspaces.com. So as a way of supporting, and I'm sure you'll agree with it, is that they need to support this local station, which is a bilingual station. I mean, we speak Spanish, English, indigenous language, all kinds of different things, plus able to have people like yourself on to suggest ways that activism can become more prolific, so to speak. So I just wanted to throw that in. Well, give us your website one more time, and Darcy, spell it out, my friend. And I'm also going to have it on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces, but go ahead and spell it out.
Okay, it's www.activism, A-C-T-I-V-I-S-M, articulated, ARTICULATED.com. And our phone number and an ability to email us is all right there, along with the bios of our entire team. We have a great team. And what we can do to help your organization.
Well, Darcy Trotton, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, and wish you much success. And know you have a press release that you can send right here to www.womenspaces.com. And thank you so much for being on our program and sharing all these wonderful insights.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Best to you, my friend.
You too.
Oh, right. My goodness. I'm telling you, Women, we need to stand up. We need to take a stand. We need to take a stand for the future, for our children. I mean, we cannot continue to go on with all this hatred and all these other things that are happening in our world. Anyway, I really was happy to interview Darcy Trotton. I want to thank her from the bottom of my heart, and I want to do a special shout out for the Black Women's Organization there in Sacramento for turning me on to her and for all the wonderful work that they are doing. We're going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing is The Battle Hymn of Women. Oh, I love this. The Battle Hymn of Women by Betsy Ross. And when we return, we will continue. We will do a conversation. We will continue with our wonderful conversations with a dear friend of mine, Molly Murphy McGregor, who is one of the co-founders of the Women's History Project. And we will be talking about Women's Equality Day, which takes place on August 26th. So let's go ahead and listen to The Battle Hymn of Women by Betsy Ross, and then we'll be back with Molly Murphy McGregor.
My eyes have seen the glory of the flame of women's rage, kept smoldering for centuries, now burning in this age. No longer are we prisoners in that same old gilded cage. That's why we're marching on. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll told us to speak softly, to be gentle and to smile. Expected us to change ourselves with every passing style. Said the only work for women was to clean and sweep and file. That's why we're marching on. It is we who've done your cooking, done your cleaning, kept your rules. We gave birth to all your children and we taught them in your schools. We've kept the system running, but we're laying down our tools. That's why we're marching on. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. For women's time has come.
You think that you can buy us off with wedding rings. You never give us half the profit that our labor brings. Our anger eats into us. We no longer bow to kings.
That's why we're marching on. We have broken through our shackles. Now we sing a battle song. We march for liberation and we're many million strong. We'll build a new society. We've waited much too long. That's why.
I love that line, many million strong. Actually, women are 51% of the population. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about it. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest on the phone with me, Molly Murphy McGregor. Welcome, Molly. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Elaine. I'm glad to be here.
Didn't you just love that song?
I do love that song. I took everything not to sing along with it because, you know.
I was saying, move along or we'll move over you. Anyway, let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you, Molly. Is that okay?
Sure.
Molly Murphy McGregor is a co-founder of the National Women's History Project, which was founded here in Sonoma County. Molly is the executive director of and is also the president of the board of directors. She is a former high school social studies teacher who has worked for over 35 years in the field of gender equality and women's history. Molly conducts women's history workshops and women's historic site tours throughout the country. She also works with state and national agencies on strategies and programs to help acknowledge and recognize the historic contribution of women. I remember when I first met you, Molly, and we all of a sudden were talking about when you said you wanted to do women in art, and I said, oh, there are women artists? Her work is in the field of multicultural women's history and has been widely recognized and has won many, many awards. Anything else that you would like to add, Molly?
Nope, that's fine. I lived in the same house in Sonoma County for 37 years, so I'm here to stay.
Right. You know, I moved up to Sonoma County in 1973 to go to Sonoma State, and I have to tell you that those 2 years there were the most enlightening years of my life. I mean, I had no idea how oppressed I was as a woman at that time, which is really stunning when you think back on it in 1973, you know, what we were thinking back then.
And then this is 2017, and let me tell you, some people are thinking the same stuff. So,
well, yeah, talk a little bit. Let's start first. What was your motivation? Just give us a quick overview of what was your motivation and all the women that were involved with you for even looking at women and history.
Well, my motivation was I was a high school teacher and a student asked me what is the women's movement, and I didn't have a clue. And when I realized how incredibly ignorant I was, that I aced history because that's my field, and I never did a paper on a woman. I did radical reconstruction. Who would I do? Thaddeus Stevens. I didn't even know about Harriet Tubman. So that's when I went. I left teaching. Even though I had a 5-year credential, I left teaching high school and came to Sonoma State. And thank God there was a women's studies program that had begun to investigate a lot of this. And I got involved with the Women's History Collective slideshow, and as we traveled throughout California presenting that slideshow, we saw how it changed people. I mean, they just couldn't believe it. They thought that they had these PhDs and these extraordinary educations. They didn't know about any of these women. And so I knew from my own life the kind of inspiration that knowing who women are and what we have done changed me. I mean, it changed me in every way. My knowledge of ethnicity, color, class, it was just the most expansive experience of my life. And, of course, not knowing my own history meant that I'd never asked my mother what her history was like. So my mother was dead by the time I discovered women's history, and so I keep on keeping on because I want to not have other women make that same mistake of not asking the women in their lives who they really are and you know, what their lives are really like.
You know, I have that, you know, it's very interesting. My mother was wanted to be a businesswoman. So what she did was she kind of turned over. I was the oldest child. She kind of turned over all the child raising responsibilities to me. And when I was going to Sonoma State, San Francisco State, getting my master's program, I did an autobiography, and I read it to her. And she looked at me, and she said, you know, Elaine, you've been involved with women's studies at Sonoma State. She says, can't you just think of me? Maybe I was one of the first liberated women. And I remember looking at my mother thinking, my goodness, I never thought of her that way. You know, I never really thought of how women struggled to try to be themselves and at the same time got trapped into things that they really did not want to be a part of. So it's really, really interesting when you talk about that. Well, what kept you motivated? How did you begin? You began this journey.
I kept learning, and I kept seeing the numbers of people that were my students also became my teachers, and together we just kept expanding the whole idea of what we even meant by women's history. We asked, you know, completely new questions. We had questions we hadn't even considered before. I was teaching a class at the junior college, but it was the Petaluma Extension, and women in my class said, you know, Molly, we just missed this when we went through school. Let's see what our kids are being taught. And so the libraries they looked in, the 3 to 7 books that they found at all hadn't been checked out in 15 years. And we knew why. Those kids were having the same kind of teacher that I was, a teacher that knew nothing about women's history, so why would they assign any biography about a woman? Because they didn't know any. I had a teacher once, when I taught a summer class, when in high school I taught an experimental summer class that was, 2 hours a day for 6 weeks, and one of my my male colleagues said to me, "You're going to teach women's history, Molly? That should take you about 10 minutes. So, it was things, I think it was people's ignorance as well as how important it is. If we knew who women are and what we've done, the complexities, because I don't in any way mean to idealize women because we are also flawed, but to know the tenacity, the courage, the strength, just the stamina, I think would give every woman a larger sense of who she is, and it would definitely help men out so that they would understand who women are. You know, always saying, what do women want? Well, maybe if they knew who women are and were, they wouldn't have to ask that question.
So. They'd be less afraid. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, when you start, I start thinking of myself. I mean, I'm 77 years old, and I start thinking of myself at the different degrees of accomplishments I've had and how difficult it was just because of my gender and how difficult it was sometimes to speak out. And, we've come a long way. We've come a long way as far as positioning goes. Now we have a majority on the Board of Supervisors of women. But I'm wondering, we're coming up, and let's talk a little bit about this. We're coming up on Women's Equality Day, and I think on August 26th, and I think oftentimes the one issue that I have is that we kind of jump over these holidays. We don't make a big enough deal about it. And Women's Equality Day is very, very important. So why don't you talk a little bit about it? Give us a little bit of history.
Okay.
And also talk a little bit about the founder, Bella. I can never pronounce
Bella
her.
Bella Abzug?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about her.
Well, Bella Abzug was elected to the United States Congress from Brooklyn, and she... The most famous story about Bella was that she was an attorney, and she went to one of the corporate meetings, and it didn't get started, and finally she spoke up, and she said, "What are we waiting for?" And they said, "Well, we're waiting for the attorney from your office." And she just looked at them, and from then on she wore a hat, because she knew that they would never expect a secretary to wear a hat. So she wore her hat everywhere. And
That black hat?
It didn't matter. It had to be a hat because it meant that she was not, she wasn't a secretary, because secretaries wouldn't wear hats. But her kids did. There was this just great tribute to Bella when she died, and her kids talked about how absolutely humiliated they'd be in the theater or something, because the men behind her would say, "Ma'am, would you mind taking off your hat?" And she'd say, "No, not taking it off." But Bella was the person who organized the first and only National Women's History Conference in Houston in 1977 to really bring together women from every state and every class and a political background and all of that to try
and
come up with a
women's agenda. Did you attend that?
No, I didn't. I was at the time I was a kind of a radical college student and couldn't believe that the government would fund anything that was worth going to. Oh, I was so stupid. But anyway, I didn't attend, but there are wonderful movies about it. And Bella was that kind of just forthright leader. The last time I saw her, she was in a wheelchair. It was at an anniversary event of one of the Houston conferences. So this is their 40th anniversary this year, so maybe it was the 30th. And she was still as full of fire and brimstone as ever. And I happened to give a speech in Sacramento the day that Bella died. I was on my way to Sacramento, and I heard of her passing. And so when I went to give my speech, I said, Bella Abzug died today. And I know usually we do a moment of silence for memory. I said, but this is Bella Abzug, so let's just hear how loud we can yell.
I'll tell you, interesting.
She is amazing, and we have so much. And so she wanted to make sure, winning the vote took 72 years, right? And she wanted to make sure that there was a remembrance of it, that we really understood that this, and I think we're understanding it more now than ever, this grip on democracy is something we have to keep building on. And so she's the one that passed the resolution in Congress, had the resolution passed in Congress that August 26th, which is the anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which women won the right to vote, would be celebrated that year and every year thereafter. And
It has been mostly in federal agencies, and women's organizations more and more are celebrating it. But the National Women's History Project is leading the charge to have August 26, 2020, declared as a federal holiday because it will be the 100th anniversary of women in the United States winning the right to vote.
Well, before we go into the next question I have for you, I just want to tell you a little hat story. And I give credit to somebody else, but Frances Perkins, you know, who was very involved with Roosevelt, with writing the Social Security and children's safety and work and all kinds
of... Unemployment.
Unemployment, I mean. Well, she always wore a hat because her mother told her. I couldn't believe this when I read this. Her mother told her she had the type of face that if she didn't wear a hat, she would not look good. And so she wore a hat all... She wore a black hat all her life. I just wanted to throw that in because...
Well, don't you love the way that we get prescribed by other people's expectations of what we should look like, too? That's one of the things that's so sad because women do this to each other all the time. And anyway...
I'm still struggling with it. I'm still struggling with it. Well, listen, it's interesting. You know, in 2020, we will be celebrating 100 years since we got the vote. I mean, here we have our 40th anniversary of Women's Equality Day, you know, and it took so much effort to bring all these forward. You know, we've made a lot of strides, but what is happening today? How do you analyze today's world with women?
Well, actually, I'm very, very encouraged. These young women and their blogs and their Twitters and their knowledge base and their assumptions about what should be. You know, we weren't even bold enough. Well, I should say me. I'll speak for myself. I wasn't even bold enough to make some of the assumptions that they just think. When I was in high school, the football team voted for the prom for homecoming queen, and the homecoming queen got a whole page in the annual. And the people that were like went to Girl State or were Phoebians or whatever leaders in the class, I don't think they even were pictured. So it's just such a different world. Girls today, I have a niece that plays basketball, and she's just really bummed out that the WNBA doesn't have as much status as the NBA. And I just, I feel very encouraged, especially by the fact that people are getting together and trying to figure out what kind of country do we want to sustain. You know, what does America stand for, and how can we do something about it? So clearly we have an opposition, and sometimes it almost works better to have an opposition because then you just don't go by and by. I have two or three friends who came out of retirement with the election of Donald Trump because they thought that their work was over and they discovered it's not. So I feel very encouraged. I just met with the Commission on the Status of Women this week because in 2018, it's hard to come up with these big numbers. In 2018, we're going to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the first Women's History Week that happened in Sonoma County. You know, we launched the national effort. And so we're going to have a big 40th anniversary celebration, the Commission on the Status of Women, because I was with the commission when we did this. They're getting involved. The city's getting involved.
When is that going to be happening?
It's going to be happening around March 8th through 10th in 2018. It's just in the beginning planning stages, but we're hoping to have part of it be at Courthouse Square, and we haven't gone any further than that. But I think it'll be so great because since that time, there's three generations that have grown up, and it would be so nice to, first of all, recognize those women, like Helen Rudy was in the first parade, and Lynn Woolsey was chair of the commission, and there's just all this rich, rich history that we have. And you know, as women get older, we become invisible. So it's so nice to make these older women visible again and give these younger women a sense of their own history and the shoulders they stand on.
Well, definitely keep me posted. And also, I want to let you know that...
Oh, definitely. You'll be posted, Elaine. And you'll be involved. Trust me on that one.
Anyway, but on October 18th, I'm now president for the National Organization for Women here, the Sonoma County Chapter, and on October 18th, and I really want to invite you, we're trying to pull together groups to have a planning meeting on 2020, and this might help. I'll talk to Tracy and make sure the commission gets all the information, but maybe you folks could come and we can support your effort on this is so exciting to me. I'm shaking.
Yeah, it's going to be a women's history event for all of Sonoma County, from Hillsburg to Petaluma to you know, the ocean back to Sonoma. It's going to be everybody. Well, that's the great thing about the commission. They all represent different districts. And the city, Kalua Barnes at the city's director of some kind of programming.
She works with the engagement.
Yeah, she has just been wonderful. Just everywhere we've gone. And see, I didn't even think of this. A woman who was on our board of directors, the National Women's History Project board of directors, she knew the story from the beginning. And she said, my God, you guys...
Molly, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're coming to the end of the segment, and I would like you to give us your website and how we can get a hold of you.
Okay. Our website is N is in National, W is in Women, H is in History, P is in Project, .org. And if you go to our website, you'll see that there's lots of ways. You know, you scroll down and you'll see how you can sign up for our newsletter, or if you click on our web store and put in the word Gazette, you'll see how you can work your way through and get a free Gazette on how women won the vote.
Well, thank you so much, Molly McGregor from the National Women's House Project, for being such a wonderful, wonderful guest and such a great friend all these years. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Bye, honey. Bye.
Well, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Darcy Troughton, a 10-year veteran in the field of public relations, and also to Molly Murphy McGregor, the co-founder of the National Women's History Project, another example of ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And a special shout out to Laura Gonzalez for doing this interview this morning about the protest around what was happening on Sunday here in Sonoma County. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. Yeah.